Hello, I am Van Brian, and you are listening to the Classical Wisdom Audio Library. Today, we're talking about money in the ancient world. More specifically, we're talking about coins, or at the very least, metal. Now, not surprisingly, the classical philosophers of the day had plenty to say on the topic. But before we recount what the likes of Aristotle and Plato thought about coinage, let's take a look at the precious little discs themselves. The ancient Greek drachma enjoyed 10 centuries of popular usage, from the archaic period right up until Roman times. As such, it was not only one of the earliest unified and accepted world currencies, it was also one of the world's longest-serving monetary units. Ancient coinage seems to have originated around 600 BC, and was originally made of electrum, a naturally occurring gold-silver alloy. Though, over time, silver became the metal of choice. A drachma was worth 6 obols, which, though later coins themselves, were originally large metal sticks. An average man could carry 6 of these valuable stakes in one hand, thus giving rise to drachma, which literally translates to a fistful. The increasing commercial and political power of the Greek states meant that coins were in use all over the Mediterranean basin, from Persia to Carthage to Italy. They even reached as far as the western-dwelling Celts. Despite their ubiquity, drachma were not universally assumed to have the same value, but instead depended on the reputation of the city in which they were minted. Nonetheless, these handy coins were undoubtedly an essential part of everyday life. Indeed, they were also needed in the hereafter. It was standard practice to place a coin in the mouth of the deceased, thus enabling them to pay the ferryman, Charon, to convey them into Hades. However, you may be of the opinion that all of this is just nickel and dime stuff. Much more important is, what did the great minds of the age have to say about coinage? Well, the great student-master double act, Aristotle and Plato, had clear and distinct thoughts about what a currency should be. Plato's ideas about money were like many of his other topics. They were largely theoretical, rhetorical, and meant to generate intelligent discussion rather than provide a binding dogma for the state to follow. Plato spurned the idea of common money having any value and was therefore against using gold or silver coinage. Instead, he preferred some officially recognized, accepted, but intrinsically worthless, tokens, much like the tickets you win at the fairground. That said, he did think that a standardized Greek currency of actual value could be useful for transactions between governments, or traveling citizens, but not compatriots within the same city. As for Aristotle, he often took a capriciously contrary view to his mentor, and this instance was no exception. Though it is commonly accepted, with historical hindsight, that he won the day with his ideas about money. Aristotle didn't do much to justify the necessity of money, but took the more practical approach. That is, he considered its necessity to be self-evident. Aristotle writes, "When the inhabitants of one country became more dependent on those of another, and they imported what they needed and exported what they had too much of, money necessarily came into use." Unlike Plato, Aristotle was dogmatic about what a currency should be. He considered that coinage must be the following things. Number 1, it must be durable. Number 2, it should be portable. Number 3, it should be divisible. Currency should be mutually exchangeable. And finally, coinage should be intrinsically valuable. Aristotle's ideas have been used throughout the ages in order to justify or denigrate various economic policies and innovations, from fiat printing to the most recent phenomenon of cryptocurrencies. Indeed, ignoring this fifth tenet of Aristotle's is what some believe helped bring about the hyperinflation in the latter days of the Roman Empire, a potential source of its inevitable fall. There were, of course, those who disagreed with Ardi. The dramatic playwright Sophocles wrote, "Money. There's nothing in the world so demoralizing as money. And then there was the homespun idealism of Socrates when he says, "I tell you that virtue is not given by money, but that from virtue comes money and every other good of man, public as well as private." Aristotle was far more practical and perceptive. Not only did he outline what a currency should be, but also what a society could become given its absence. From the lofty ideals embedded in his lengthy prose, Aristotle allows us to infer that he would have rejected any who would have said that money is the root of all evil. Indeed, he would have considered the exact opposite to be true, that money could help elevate man out of the mire, and that the true evil was not the coin itself, but its absence. He most succinctly and sagely put it thus: "Poverty is the parent of revolution and crime." And it is with such pragmatic principles that Aristotle's ideas have outlasted even the drachma itself.